Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps your experience of the beginning of this worship so far is that it's been rather somber. Our Bible reading, for one, many of the psalms, the two psalms that we sang already, they're full of tears. Psalm 42, we sang, "Bitter tears of lamentation are my food by night and day." Psalm 102 as well, "I no longer eat my bread, but with ashes I am fed. With my drink, my tears are blended." Those two psalms alone present quite the imagery. Tears as food and drink. Maybe you know the feeling sometimes. Moments of particular pain, your eyes overflowing with tears. So they run down your cheeks, they sit on your lips, and you can taste their saltiness. They drip and splash in your drink or on the plate in front of you. Some people think it a matter of strength not to show such emotions. Not sure that would be entirely accurate. We only have to think of those pictures presented in the Psalms that we sang together. And that's just two of the Psalms. There are many passages in Scripture that speak that way. Not only tears in pain, also in prayer, in pleading. In grief and mourning, God's people pull their hair out. They tear their clothes. They cover themselves in sackcloth and dump ashes on their heads. Just picture Job sitting in the ash heap, scraping his sores with a piece of broken pottery. It's good to let our tears flow sometimes. Not just because that's therapeutic in a way, also because they draw us back to the meaning in life. They draw us, so they ought to draw us back to Christ. They draw us to the true comfort that is found only in Christ. That's what we consider together this afternoon. That true comfort for our tears is found only in Christ. I summarize the message that way. True comfort for our tears is found only in Christ. It's a comfort we find in our tears for sin, a comfort we find in our tears for suffering, and a comfort we find in our tears for strife. True comfort for our tears is found only in Christ. First of all, in those tears for sin. Let's start this first point with a question, or with a series of related questions. I ask, do you ever shed tears for sin? Have you ever shed tears over your sin? Wept over your transgressions, been filled with grief over your iniquity? If so, why? Was it godly grief or worldly grief? The Apostle Paul makes that distinction in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. What is this worldly grief, this godly grief? What is it to shed honest tears for sin? It's quite the passage we read together in Lamentations 1. We likely don't read that book very often. It's rather depressing. The very title says it all, Lamentations. It's a book full of tears. It's full of graphic descriptions of sorrow and suffering. And all from one who is seeking some comfort. It's from Jerusalem, the fallen city. She who was once a princess, but is now a slave, a widow. We heard it right away. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. And later again, her uncleanness was in her skirts. She took no thought of her future. Therefore, her fall is terrible. She has no comforter. And again, Zion stretches out her hands, but there is none to comfort her. She seeks comfort in her tears. But why the tears? Because the Lord has punished her, and she knows it. Verse 12 we read, "Look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger." So she says in verse 16, "For these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me, one to revive my spirit." But again, why? Why did the Lord inflict all of this on her? Why did she have to shed these tears? Jerusalem knows. Verse 18, "The Lord is in the right, for I have rebelled against his word." I have rebelled against his word. And verse 22, "Let all their evil doing come before you, and deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my transgressions." These are tears for sin. What punishment God brought on Jerusalem for all her sins. She was destroyed, demolished, devastated. All because of her transgressions. And the Lord, she says, was in the right. The Lord is always in the right for punishing sin. Sin should be punished. And how heavy is his anger over that sin. No wonder the Song of Lamentations. No wonder this outpouring of tears. After all, who is the Lord their God? They know it. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes, then her tears for sin aren't only because of the immense punishment they deserve, also because it's an insult to the gracious and compassionate God whose faithfulness is very great. It's in those tears that Jerusalem seeks comfort. It's in tears for sin that we seek comfort. For what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong both in body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And what does that mean, to belong to Christ? Well, he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. And why does that matter? Why is that our only comfort? Because that's where the real problem lies first. In our sin. Sin that deserves the just punishment of a holy God. That's why we confessed in question and answer 2, what do you need to know and to live and die in the joy of this only comfort? And we answered, first, how great my sins and misery are. Why would it be comforting for us that we belong to Christ, that he has paid for all of our sins with his precious blood, if we have no sense of what our sins are and what they deserve? Or in other words, why would this be our only comfort if we shed no tears for sin? When we have no godly grief in our heart for sin. Jerusalem had been blind to her sin. She lived happily in her hardness. Her prophet said to her, "Peace, peace," when there really was no peace. She needed no comfort. No comforter then. But now she saw her sin. She knew that God was punishing her for her transgressions, that God was in the right, that all sin deserves punishment from God. And so she desired comfort in that. discomfort as she wept over her sin, as she shed tears for sin. And oh, what sin we daily struggle with too. Don't we, brothers and sisters? Can we not relate to David when he cries out in Psalm 51? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Don't you know that too? And do we not then exclaim with Paul, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Yes, when we know how great our sin and misery are, do we go outside like Peter and weep bitterly? Matthew 26. Let me ask you again. Do you ever have tears for your sin? Do you cry when you snap at your children again? When you say an unkind word to your spouse? When you hold a grudge against a brother or a sister? When you speak ill of the office bearers? When you gossip and slander? When you have one too many drinks? When you open that pornographic website again? When you vowed you would never do it again? When you've been greedy and selfish, keeping for yourselves the things that ought to be used in the service of the Lord? When your work has begun to consume you, does all that and then some move you to tears? I did it again. Look at what pain I've caused. Look at how I've failed. Then, what great comfort we can find only in Christ. An extra drink isn't really going to comfort you. Comfort food isn't going to comfort. A weekend getaway isn't going to comfort. A longer night's rest isn't going to comfort us. A night out with friends to vent for a while isn't going to comfort us. Know this, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. Oh, the grace in that. It doesn't mean that all the sinfulness is gone. We'll have to struggle with that. And we must. But the comfort is that it's been paid for. Paid for with the precious blood of Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And what a price! The sacrifice of God's only beloved Son. In Christ crucified, that sin over which I weep is removed from me as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103. Then we can confess, as in Micah 7 verse 19, He will have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Then we no longer have to be burdened by those sins. We find comfort in the forgiveness of our sins in Christ. Then already now the gospel begins to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Tears that we shed for sin. But without those tears for sin, how great is that comfort? That's what's become so troubling about much of this world, even much Christianity. Where is the awareness of sin? It's not sin anymore. It's the environment you grew up in. It's just an accident, a mistake. It's a weakness. It's just a shortcoming. It's an illness. It's a disease, etc. Anything but sin. Don't talk to me about sin. We don't want to hear that anymore. We're not that bad. That's so negative. And then there are few tears for sin. But then the very heart of the gospel is cut out. Then our only comfort is meaningless. But it is precisely because we know how great our sins and misery are that we can live and die in the joy of our only comfort. Yes, joy in our tears. Joy in our tears for sin because of the saving work of Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins. And because He has fully paid for all my sins, because He has dealt with the heart of the problem, then I also find comfort in Christ when I shed tears for suffering. That's our second point. It's sin that brought that suffering into the world. Paul says it in Romans 5 and in Romans 8. Sin came into the world through one man and death through sin. Chapter 5. And that death is not only among mankind, the rest of creation too. That's chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it. In hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Creation groans because of the presence of sin. And don't we know it? There is death and decay everywhere. In all of creation, not least of all among people, even because of what people do to each other. How gruesome some of the suffering that we read in Lamentations chapter 2. Lift up your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of the street. Look, O Lord, and see, with whom have you dealt thus? Should women eat the fruit of their womb? The children of their tender care? Should the priest and the prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? In the dust of the streets lie the young and the old. My young women and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without pity, suffering. Now that suffering was directly punishment for their sin. Still, what suffering we cannot imagine. Women eating the fruit of their womb. It happened. But there's a lot more, too. Not always so directly related to specific sin. We think of Job. His friends thought he must have sinned. But we know more. God allowed Satan to test him by taking everything away from him. What comfort could his friends offer at a time like that? Nothing. Job even says it. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Job 16, verse 2. And later in the same chapter, chapter 16, Job says, my face is red with weeping, and on my eyelids is deep darkness. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Tears for suffering, with no comfort from his friends. It's a miserable world. So much suffering. The news every day is full of it. COVID still grips the news. And it's tales of people sick, suffering, dying. All the unrest in Nova Scotia over the lobster fishery. Constant concerns about systemic racism in the U.S. and Canada and around the world. Well, the news is full of it all. But for us, sometimes that kind of news is a little bit further removed, that suffering. But we have our own forms of suffering. Physically, mentally, illness and disease impact every family in some way. Every week again, through the grapevine, we hear news of another cancer diagnosis. Young and old alike. Perhaps some of you are dealing with depression, anxiety, Parkinson's, MS, fibromyalgia, chronic back pain, much, much more. The list goes on and on. Some are struggling, perhaps, in their relationships with children, spouse, while others may be longing for children, a spouse. For some, that suffering is public, others suffer in silence. We deal with it all, personally, or among our family and friends, maybe watching the health of a loved one decline. Recently lost loved ones, dying at a ripe old age or taken out of this life early, humanly speaking, even in the womb. And we shed tears. Tears for suffering. Yes, even our Lord Jesus Christ wept when he stood at the grave of his good friend Lazarus. Perhaps that was in part because he was faced with the people's unbelief. They didn't believe he had the power to heal. But it also shows us his humanity. Jesus wept. He shed tears for suffering too. He saw and experienced the awful power and the reality of sin in the world. Death. Christ knows our tears. He knows our suffering. And so we find comfort in him in our tears too. It's what we confessed in Lord's Day 1. He, Christ, also preserves me in such a way that without the will of his heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Without the will of my heavenly Father. I had someone come to me once who wanted to change the word will in Lord's Day 1 to the word knowledge. That without the knowledge of my heavenly Father. That's too true too, right? God knows everything. He's omniscient. But why did he want to change it? He'd suffered greatly in his life. He went through a lot. I can't imagine, and I want to take nothing away from that. But he couldn't believe that this was the will of his heavenly Father. Sure, God knew about it, he said, but it couldn't have been his will. But what does that imply? That God knew about it, yet couldn't do anything about it. He knew about it, but it wasn't his will. Is that really comforting? Doesn't that make God, our God, less than sovereign, no longer almighty? Then sometimes he is powerless to act, even if he knows it's going to happen. Oh, that doesn't make it easy to accept everything from the Father's hand, from his will. There is a lot of suffering that we wonder at. Why in the world does my Father do that? Why does he make me deal with this? Why does it seem that in some families they have to deal with everything? And the next, nothing. But then I can take comfort in the confession that nevertheless, it is his will. Yes, even the weeping daughter of Jerusalem knew that in Lamentations. We read that gruesome things that she suffered. And yet we read in chapter 2, verse 17, the Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word. The Lord does what he purposes. So it is that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Of all the trivial things to mention, hair falling from our heads. Some of us have lost more than others. Every girl's hairbrush is full of hair every time she brushes it in the morning. And I dare to guess that not one of them has ever tried to count them all. But your heavenly Father knows them all. Not one came out without his will. That's how Christ our Savior speaks of it. And if the Father wills such trivial little things, What about the much more significant things in life? If he feeds the sparrows, thousands and millions of them, if he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more you? So the suffering we have to endure in this life, we receive from the hand of our Father. It's all part of his greater purpose of salvation. If the Son has died for our sins to save us from our slavery to sin, will the Father work against him to drive us away? Sometimes it looks like that, doesn't it? When some people suffer in life, they grow angry at God. Why would you do this to me? And they in rebellion grow distant. But the Father is working together with the Son to draw us closer to Him, to strengthen our faith and purify our life, even in suffering. That's why the apostles in their letters will say, count it pure joy whenever you face trials. Or we rejoice in our sufferings. Because the Father is carrying out His purpose of salvation, the salvation purchased in the blood of His Son, Christ. All things work together for my salvation. That's how He begins to wipe away our tears. We find comfort for our tears in suffering only in Christ. Because yes, otherwise our suffering is meaningless. If it's not being used towards this end, the end of our salvation in Christ, it's got little purpose. But we receive it all for our salvation. So while we still shed tears for suffering in this life, we find comfort already in Christ. That's not always easy to hold on to, though, is it, beloved? To say it, and then also to experience it, to know it as real in our life. And that's because we also shed tears for strife, our last point. Strife, we know, is another word for conflict or battle. It's what we may say is going on inside us when we doubt. When we begin to wonder about God's saving purpose in our life. When our eyes are filled with tears and all this suffering and we say, is God really there? Aren't there many that ask that? Don't we have that nagging doubt sometimes? We weep in our misery and say, would a loving God do this? That's our sinful nature, the weakness of our flesh, to question and doubt our Creator and Father. We know the promises that He's made at our baptism to provide us with all good and avert all evil or turn it to our benefit. We know that those promises stem from what He's revealed in His Word, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We know that Christ has promised, your Father who is in heaven will give good things to those who ask Him. And yet sometimes there's that nagging little voice in the back of our mind saying, really? Really? Because we're weak. We are sinful. And so we shed tears. Tears of this strife. Why doesn't what I know fit with what I experience? Why don't I feel the things that I know to be true? But you know, beloved, why we experience that as a strife, as a conflict, a battle? It's because of the Spirit of Christ. He's the one that's waging that battle, Galatians 5. He's engaged in that strife. Yes, we confessed Christ by His Holy Spirit assures me. Lord's Day 1. He works in me. He, Paul says in Romans 8:16, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. In other words, as our Lord's Day put it, the Spirit assures me of eternal life. He begins to wipe away the tears from my eyes in this inner strife by lifting my head up to look beyond the suffering of this present life to the glory that will come. For as Paul continues there in Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It's through the Spirit that we get this eternal perspective. And that's because our God is the everlasting God. That's the hope. That kernel of hope that we found there in the middle of the book of Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, He will have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. As the Spirit is engaged in that strife, He makes war against our sinful nature, the sinful nature that not only doubts and questions, but also wants to live life its own way, follow its own laws. How frustrating when we know the will of God, when it is so simple and so clear, and yet through weakness we sometimes fall into sin. We shed tears for that sin, and also for the strife it causes us, inner turmoil as we seek to do God's will. And there too we find comfort in Christ. We don't despair of God's mercy. For by His Spirit, He also makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That very inner strife, that struggle, is evidence of the work of the Spirit. Christ is at work in me by His Spirit. Praise the Lord. What a comfort to know that He doesn't leave me alone in this world of strife. On the contrary, He wipes away my tears and makes me ready and willing from now on to live for Him, destroying my doubts and stamping out my stubbornness. All this, brothers and sisters, in this life and in death, our only comfort in our tears. Tears for sin, tears for suffering, and tears for strife. Tears that are wiped away in Christ. So why do they keep coming back? Those tears? Because they do, don't they? Today you might be bright-eyed, filled with wonder at the gospel that you get to go home with. And tomorrow, you weep again. There is still sin and suffering and strife. It's because the gospel is always an already and a not yet. Already we have so much in Christ. But there is still that not yet, isn't there? And that not yet is coming with the new heaven and the new earth. When God will dwell with man and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and their God. When God wipes away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Can you find that comfort anywhere else, apart from Christ? No, beloved. My only comfort in life and in death is that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.